received encouragement and stimulation and great help in reading the book of Nehemiah. And although we'll not be able to read the entire book today, we'll just notice a few verses. If they mean as much to you as they do to me, I'm sure that you will receive a blessing. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, very interesting, isn't it? One of my brethren. He was on speaking terms with his brethren, and he was able to get a real interesting communication here. One of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped and were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. The thing that impresses me right there is the fact that Nehemiah was very interested in the welfare of God's people. He was concerned as to their state. He wanted to know how they were doing. And so he asked them concerning the state of his brethren who had escaped from the captivity and gone back to God's center, Jerusalem. Now notice what they said. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When Nehemiah heard the report concerning his brethren that they were in great reproach, when he heard that the wall had been broken down, the wall of Jerusalem, when he heard that the gates were burned with fire, it touched his heart. I had the joy this morning sitting right over there in one of those chairs and enjoying a very happy Bible reading. And most of you did the same. And we heard the truth, and I thank God for it, that there is one body in this world composed of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one body, and that the Lord Jesus loves his people very much. And that he has given certain things to his people to help them through this world and be a blessing to them. And it was wonderful to hear about it. But when I look around in the day in which I live, I don't find things so wonderful at all. I find the counterpart of what we have in this third verse. I find that the wall is broken down, the wall of separation. And I find that the gates thereof, in a measure, are burned with fire. There have been times in my little life when I've taken a road map of the United States, and I have noticed how many places there are in the United States where there is a meeting of those gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on the ground of the one body. And were I to take pins and put those pins in the locations where there is an assembly and a testimony to Christ on the ground of the one body, it grieves me to say that I would not need very many pins. And in reality, it's true. The walls are broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. And for you and for me who desire to see God's best for his people, we long to see the blessing of God, the full blessing that God has for every one of his people. For you and for me, there is a time when we want to do what Nehemiah did. We want to sit down and weep and mourn certain days. And so this afternoon, I would just like to bring before my own heart and yours what one man did when he encountered this condition. And I hope it will serve to me and to you an inspiration that in spite of this fact, that the walls are broken down and the gates are burned with fire, in spite of it all, and we cannot deny its truth, in spite of it, there is still something to do and something to bear. Now let's go on past the first chapter. I won't read all those interesting things that happened, where Nehemiah expresses his desire before the Lord. And we'll even pass down through the first verses of the second chapter, where he mentions his desire to the authorities where he was found and was granted the permission to go and to visit his brethren. I really believe that if there is a desire in your heart and mine, and may I just say that I am speaking to Christians, this is not a gospel meeting. The intention of this meeting is to serve as an encouragement to all of us who really know Christ as our Savior. And I believe that if there is a desire in your heart and mine, as we're faced with the sad facts that the walls are broken down and the gates are burned with fire, and we see the great weakness that is found among God's people, weakness that we cannot deny, I believe that if there is a desire in our hearts to be a blessing, that God will open up a way whereby you and I can find something still to do and something still to bear. So it was with Nehemiah. He expressed his desires first to the Lord, and then he expressed his desire to the authorities under which he served. And God opened the way whereby his servant would have an opportunity to go, that he might be a little encouragement to those that loved the God that he served. Verse 9 of chapter 2 says, "Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel." Nehemiah did not find that he was able to please everybody in his desire to be an encouragement to the people of God. No, instead he found that there were those that were absolutely disgusted that there should ever be such a thing as a man who had come to seek the welfare of the children of God. And so I will not say today that if you want to help God's people and be an encouragement in the little sphere that you or I may live in, I want you to know that you're not going to meet with a brass band that will signal the triumph of your desires. You may encounter opposition, and I know you will, because there will be those who will not understand the reality of your motives. And so it was with Nehemiah. These people were grieved that he came to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came in verse 11 to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart. You know, this impresses me greatly. It's amazing what God can do with one heart that beats for him. Just one heart that desires to serve God and be a blessing to his people. It's amazing what God can do with just one heart. And he said, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart. If I had my druthers this afternoon, and if I had my wish fulfilled, it would be the earnest desire in my heart that every believer in this room today would leave this meeting with a renewed and fresh desire to be a blessing to the people of God. And I don't know exactly what God will speak to you about this afternoon, because I don't live in the sphere that you live in. I don't know the problems that you face or anything or even the opportunities that are yours. But this much I know, that God would desire that you might have an opportunity to be a blessing. And I know that he will try to speak to you and indicate some method and some way whereby you and I might seek to be a little encouragement. And I don't think that any one of us will have exactly the same thing brought to our minds as another. Nehemiah had a desire in his heart, and it was entirely his before God. Verse 13 says, "I went out by night by the gate of the valley even before the dragon well and to the dung port. Doesn't sound like a very, very nice street, does it, huh? Before the dragon well and to the dung port. You're not going to find this road an easy path if you want to serve the Lord and be a blessing to God's people. Now, I'm not just talking to the men. I'm talking to the women, too, the sisters, the boys, the girls, the young people, every one of you that know Christ. There's a wide open door for you if your heart desires to be a blessing to the Lord's people. Well, this was not an easy road. It went by the dragon well and to the dung port and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. So much rubble there that he felt the loss of his strength. And so it is in the day in which we live. The pathway of blessing and the pathway of desire to serve the Lord and be a blessing to one another is going to be compassed with lots of problems and lots of difficulties. Verse 15, then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Do you know why? If you and I were to read carefully the book of Nehemiah, we would see that if he had mentioned his desire to some of those rulers and leaders, they would have squelched him immediately. Because in the heart of the leaders that were in charge of the people of God at that moment, there was no desire to see progress in the things of God. In fact, the very high priest himself was guilty of a great bringing in of a problem among God's people. And so Nehemiah couldn't have got any help from these men. He was directly in contact with God. And I believe there comes a time in the life of every young Christian and every older one too, when we have to make direct contact with God about the questions of our desires to be a blessing to God's people. Then I said, verse 17, then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Ah, here was a man willing to take the lead. And I remember reading on a bulletin board not too long ago in a Christian area a statement that I've never forgotten, and it said this: misunderstanding is the price of leadership. And I've, in a measure, proven it to be true. If you want to take the lead for God, you're going to be misunderstood. Misunderstanding is the price of leadership. But Nehemiah took the lead. He wanted to be a blessing. And he says, come, let's build up the wall, Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words which he had spoken unto me. And they said, oh, what a wonderful thing they said now. Let us rise up and build. It would be the longing of my heart if that could come from every Christian in this room today, after our little message together, that you and I may say together, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Let us not fold our hands and go to sleep and say, oh, things are in such a mess, we're just going to give it all up. No. Let's take the action of faith that we find in this dear servant of God. He said, let us rise up and build. And that was so contagious that it was found in those that heard him too. Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now we'll pass on down to chapter 3. And what I want to do, very briefly, in the next 15 minutes or so, is to go through this chapter and notice the different jobs that they did as they sought to be an encouragement and a help towards building the wall and re-establishing the gates. Something still to do and bear. Then Eliashib, the high priest, you want to watch out for that fellow, Eliashib, because when you get further on in this book, you're going to find out that he was not a faithful man, even though he was in charge of the people of God. He was not a faithful man. Watch out for Eliashib. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. The sheep gate. Well, what had happened to the sheep gate? Well, it had evidently been burned with fire, and the walls surrounding it had fallen down. The sheep gate is that gate through which the sheep were brought in. Is there something to do about the sheep gate today? You know, I think there is. I think that there's something yet to do for the sheep gate. Yes, the gospel needs to go out even now. There needs to be something done about the sheep gate. Oh, that souls may be brought in to hear the gospel. That you and I may go out with the gospel, that there may be sheep brought in to the testimony. And we see these folks that they build the sheep gate. And I would just like to say that there is need today for repairing of the sheep gate. And they sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia, and they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. There is one thing lacking, however, in the sheep gate that they built it here. And I think that we realize that the problem lay probably in the fact that Eliashib was not a faithful man. When they repaired this sheep gate, they forgot to put the locks and the bars on the door. And as we go on through this chapter so quickly and briefly, we're going to notice that there were some doors that had been broken down, and when they repaired them, they put locks and bars on them. But we notice that when Eliashib, this unfaithful man, when he builded the sheep gate, he forgot to put on the locks, and he forgot to put on the bars. Oh, friends and believers in Christ, not only do we need the sheep gate rebuilded, but we need the locks and bars on it. There needs to be discernment. You see, not everybody that makes a profession of being a believer, not everybody can be allowed into the assembly. There need to be those locks and bars. The Word of God says, by their fruits you shall know them. There needs to be discernment. There needs to be the locks and the bars. That care. And the assembly and testimony of God's people is just not wide open to everybody who makes a profession of being a Christian. There needs to be discernment in the sheep gate. Now, verse 3, it says, but the fish gate. Here's another one of those gates. And I might just say that the gates are the openings in the walls. The wall is that which protects the testimony, and the gates are the openings into that. And they're very necessary. Why, how could you have a city surrounded by a wall if you didn't have gates through which you could enter in for certain purposes? And so the gates were important, just as important as the wall. In verse 3, the fish gate did the sons of Hasanina build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. It was important to these people that the gate that they made for the fish should have locks and bars on them. Well, I've thought a lot about the fish gate. You know, I like to fish myself. I think if I lived in this area, you'd find me down in the Mississippi down there some evening trying to catch a few catfish. I was with my boys not long ago, and we went up to a little lake not far from Des Moines, and we caught two carp and one walleye and several bullheads. And I asked some of the folks there, I said, now, which are the clean fish and which are the fish that are not clean? Well, one of the boys said, well, Dad, he says the bullheads are the clean ones. Oh, I suppose he thought maybe because they were kind of smooth. But then I had to bring before them what I had learned from reading my Bible, that a clean fish was a fish that had two things. It had scales and fins. And so, you know, we changed our minds and we decided that the carp were the clean fish, because the carp had scales and the carp had fins. Well, we cleaned them all because we're not under law, and we won't take up that line of things now. But in the Old Testament, we find that a fish was clean if it had scales and fins. The scales would speak of protection from defilement, and the fins were those things that gave the fish the power to swim against the current. And so when they brought in the fish at the fish gate, somebody had to decide, well, are these clean fish or are they not? And they would only admit the clean ones into the testimony. So the fish gate would speak to us of discernment, distinguishing between that which is good and that which is not, that which is clean and that which is not clean. Now let's read on down through verse 5. It says, next to them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Now that's a kind of a sour note, isn't it? That somebody felt that they were so important, they were just so important that they couldn't give any time to the Lord. Their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Didn't want to get their hands dirty. Didn't want to be considered a part of the work at all. Oh, I do hope that never characterized anybody here, that we're just too important to give any time or labor to the Lord's people and His work. It says the nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Verse 6, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besorida. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars. Now the old gate. I've thought a lot about that gate too. What is the old gate? Well, that's the gate that's been around a while. It's not something new. It's not a new hole in the wall. Why, it's an old gate. It's a gate that has been well used over a long period of time. And I'll tell you a verse that it reminded me of in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 7. And it's a verse I love. And I think a verse that's good for all of us. It talks about the old paths. It's chapter 6. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Well, those old paths. Those old paths of faithfulness to God, those old paths of believing just what the Word of God has got to say, those old paths of faithfulness that have characterized God's people throughout the years, let's ask for those old paths. Let's not desire to shoot out in some new way of our own and say, well, I'm a little bit tired of the way we have our meetings and things are kind of dull here, and what we got to have here in our meetings is some new life and some new ways of doing things. Oh, I can't deny that I've had some ideas like that myself. But oh, may we control our thoughts and desires so that we might ask for those old paths. And I thank God when I see my dear brethren and sisters in Christ that I've known and loved for many years. I see them happily going on in the old paths, in obedience to the simplicity of the Word of God. And I tell you, it's a real testimony to me. And may that be our desire to repair the old gate, to ask for the old paths. The truth of God does not change. It's always the same. And the things that made our brethren happy 100 years ago are the truths of this precious Word. And we don't need to revise them. They're just as good today as they were then. Let's ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. And it says, you shall find rest unto your souls. Now let's pass on a little bit here. Let's go down to verse 12. We're passing over a lot of things that you'll want to read at a later time. And next to him repaired Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Well, now that's interesting, isn't it? He and his daughters. Why, is there anything a girl can do for the Lord? You'd be surprised what a girl can do for the Lord. You'd be surprised what a young lady whose heart beats for Christ can do for the Lord. She can do things that I'll never be able to do. Yeah, this man, he and his daughters. And there's no limit to what the Lord can do with you, whether you be a brother or sister in Christ, if you just want to This man repaired with his daughters. They found something to do. They found the gates were destroyed and the walls broken down. And so they just thought, well, I see a hole here, or I see a broken part here. I guess since the Lord saw me to see this problem, I guess I better try to fix it. I enjoyed Brother Joe Sanford's remark yesterday, I think it was, at one of our meetings. He said, well, how do you know what gift you've got? Well, that was a good question, Brother Sanford, and we need to think about that. Do I sit around and say, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to give me a gift now, and when the lightning strikes me and I finally wake up and I say, I got a gift now, I'm going to go out and tell everybody I got a big gift and they better listen and I'm here to do all these things. Is that the way? You think so, Brother Sanford? No, I don't think so either. How am I going to know what I can do for the Lord? Well, how did these folks know what to do? Well, I suppose that somebody said, you know, I've just been noticing that the fish gate is in sad shape. And I just think that since I've noticed that the fish gate is in sad shape, I believe I'll try to work on the fish gate. And what I'm trying to say is this. If the Lord has brought before you or me a definite need in the wall, or if he's shown you or me a defect in the gate, why not go to work on it? Don't sit around waiting for a gift. Pick up the tools and start to work, and you might be surprised what the Lord will do with you. And not only that, you might find out how much you'll learn as you start working. And I believe that's the way of it. In fact, one brother said, well, he said, if you just do what the Lord gets in your hand to do, it won't be long, you'll find out you'll be doing it. And these daughters found something to do on the wall. In fact, they helped repair. Now, verse 13, the valley gate repaired Hanan and then the inhabitants of Zainoah. I'm not doing too well on these words, but we're trying. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Well, the valley gate, that's the low spot. You know, it seems like in all of our lives there are some low spots. And I think that they're probably the best spots in our lives. When I think about my little life, it's a fact that in the low spots, when I found out really what I really was, and I discovered that I was pretty much a failure after all, it was at the valley gate that God spoke to my soul. And he continues to do that. So we don't want to despise the valley gate. The low spots in our lives are the places of blessing. And would you like to turn with me to Psalm, I think it's 84, and we'll notice a real interesting verse about that. Psalm 84, about the low spots. Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca or the valley of weeping, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Ah, that's the point. It's in the valley of weeping and the trouble spots, the low spots in our lives, in the valley of weeping and trouble, when we realize what we really are, it's in those low spots that the blessing of God comes in and floods our soul, and it says that the rain fills the pools. Well, a pool, you know, it's a low spot filled with water. And in my own little life, I could tell you about some of those low spots that God is filled with water. Refreshment and blessing oftentimes are just come in there and fill those pools. Well, look back to Nehemiah chapter 3. The valley gate was an important place. But we're going to notice something real interesting about the valley gate. That it had locks and bars, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. It wasn't very far from the valley gate to the dung gate. And it's most interesting to me that this is the only place in this chapter where we find a dimension given, where it is measured between one gate and another. And I want to say this, that that's real important, because it teaches us that if the Lord puts us in the valley, he knows exactly how far it is to the point where we get rid of the thing that caused us the trouble. There's a definite distance between the valley gate and the dung gate. You know, the garbage place. Because oftentimes we're allowed to go through the valley in our lives so that we might get rid of something that's going to do us harm. And so we find out that the valley gate's not far from the dung gate. And if God allows a low spot in your life, I would suggest that you might ask him and say, "Well, Lord, is there something I need to get rid of? Do I have to go now to the dung gate? And is there something that I've been going on with that isn't right?" Maybe so. And so the valley gate wasn't far here from the dung gate, 1,000 cubits on the wall to the dung gate. But the dung gate, in verse 14, repaired Micaiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-hath-Surim. He built it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. Well, I have a lot of real homely thoughts that come to me as I read these verses. There was just one man that was working on the dung gate. You know, when you do some things, you don't get any help. And when we read at other places in this chapter about, we're going to read it later, about the gate of the fountain and all by the king's pool and all those wonderful places, why, we see that there was an awful lot of people helping out. But here's a man that, let's see what his name was, Malchiah. Here's a man that thought he wanted to be a little help to the Lord, and he said, "Well, I just noticed that the garbage gate here, or the dung gate, I just noticed that it's in bad shape, and I think it ought to be repaired." Well, I suppose we can hear the others saying, "Well, that's not a very glamorous job to repair that gate, so you go ahead and do it yourself, and we'll go and we'll apply ourselves to the more illustrious gates." And so sometimes the Lord may exercise you and me to be occupied with something that's very necessary, and we may have to do it by ourselves. And so it is with this man. He worked all by himself on the dung gate. And thank God for that man's faithfulness. And so happy was God with his service that his name occurs all by itself in the Word of God. Now it goes on to say about that gate that it had locks and bars. The dung was to be taken out and not brought back in again. That's the reason for the bars. And it's a wonderful thing when the garbage is removed from our lives. It's a wonderful thing to leave it out and lock the door so it doesn't get back in again. The locks and the bars, very necessary on that garbage or that dung gate. Now let's read verse 15. Remember, we might just remind ourselves that what we're talking about is the repairing of those things that will be a benefit to God's people. And so we take them as those things that will be a benefit to us. And all of these things are important for the testimony. Verse 15, "But the gate of the fountain repaired Shallum, the son of Kohiza, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. And the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David." Well, you're going to notice if you read the rest of the verses that follow that, you'll see there are quite a few people that helped in his work. But it was the gate of the fountain. I would like to submit, and I'm sure that others will have ideas that would be added to this, I'm wanting to submit to you this fountain. The precious word of God, the gate of the fountain. Oh, we need to preserve it. We need to thank God for it. And we need to enjoy it and make it our own, the gate of the fountain. Well, have you been working on the gate of the fountain? There's no fountain like the word of God. It's the source of all blessing. And I really believe in the days in which we live, I believe that the devil is working overtime to try to pollute the very fountain itself. But thank God we have the fountain. We have the Word of God. And may we apply ourselves to it and resist every attack by the grace of God that would seek to pollute the fountain of the precious Word. Now let's go on down to verse 20. "After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest." Now, those of you that followed me closely noticed I forgot a word. After him, Barak, the son of Zabbai, earnestly repaired. God takes notice not only of what we do, God takes notice of how we do it. And oh, what a wonderful thing is this, that it could be said about this man, Barak, that he earnestly repaired. He earnestly repaired. Oh, I would desire that for myself. I would desire a fervent spirit in my soul that would really want to be a blessing to God's people. And why should this be confined to me or just a few in this room? Why can it not be the desire of every one of our hearts? This man earnestly repaired. God took notice of that. This man's heart was really in the desire to repair. I don't have time to tell you about it, but just to notice it in passing. But in verses 20, 21, and so on, we see that Eliashib, that unfaithful high priest, had forgotten to build the wall by his own house. He was so eager to build something that could be seen that he forgot to repair the wall by his own house. And all I would do in passing is just say this, that if you got a wall broken down by your own house, you don't have to ask where to start. Just start building up that wall right by your own house. And I believe that if Eliashib had been diligent, he would have built the wall by his own house, because we see in the same chapter those who built the wall that adjoined their own houses. Well, we'll pass over much here that is so interesting, but we'll have to leave it for your own meditation, which will be a blessing to you, I know, and it gives me a joy to know that if you would sit down with this chapter, you will hear more from the Lord than you ever will have heard from me. The Lord will speak to your soul, and the blessing will come. But let's go down to verse 26. Moreover, the Nethinim dwelled in Ophel under the place over against the water gate towards the east and the tower that lieth out. The water gate. Well, I suppose that's the gate through which they brought the water. I don't know what else it would be. Well, it needed to be set up. It needed to be repaired. And thank God for those that saw to it that the way into the city, the way of refreshment, and that's what water means, you know, it's refreshment, that the way into the city was kept open and guarded, the water gate. But now, verse 28 is an interesting gate too, isn't it? From above the horse gate repaired the priests, everyone against his house. Now, what is the horse gate? Well, that's easy. It's just the gate through which the horses came. That's not hard to figure out, but I think there's something more to learn about that. The horse in the Word of God often speaks of strength, and so the horse gate needed to be repaired too. And I would just like to ask you to turn with me to 1 Timothy for a verse that speaks of the horse gate in a meaning that I have often thought of. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. What is it that gives a Christian strength in his life? And the horse would speak of strength. Well, there are two things that give us strength, and I hope we don't ever forget what they are. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. Those are very important to our strength. And you know, there's nothing so weak. And I've seen people like this who are very capable and on all other accounts are very strong. But when you've got a bad conscience, you're the weakest thing on earth. The horse gate is the place of strength. And I would like to say that a good conscience is very necessary to strength in our Christian lives. And I would plead with everyone here in this room, and particularly those who are young in the faith, I would plead with you with all the desire I can muster. I plead with you, never allow a bad conscience in your life. There is no reason for you to have a bad conscience about anything. Suppose you have sinned. Suppose you have failed. Suppose you have said or done that which has displeased the Lord. You have no need to carry a bad conscience, because the door is open to confess it to the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you don't need to carry a bad conscience and lose your strength. And if we say something to someone else that's unkind, or if we've been guilty in some way of offending somebody, and we've got a bad conscience about it, how ridiculous it is to waste our lives carrying a bad conscience. And having that bad conscience weaken our entire lives, why not just go to the person that we've offended and say, I want to tell you something. You remember what I said last year? You remember what I said last week? I want you to know that was wrong. And I want you to know I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said it. My friends, my brethren in Christ, may we never carry a bad conscience. It'll make us weak as water. And the Word of God says, holding faith and a good conscience. And this will give us strength. And may we never let anything come into our lives that will give us a bad conscience, because it'll ruin the strength of our Christian lives. Now back to Nehemiah for a few closing remarks. Verse 29, after them repaired Zadok the son of Immer over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. Well, that's an interesting gate. That's the gate toward the sun rising. You see, the sun rises in the east. And the gate of the sun rising needs to be repaired. We need to keep open that gate. We need to have it in good repair. We need to often be reminded that the day is coming when the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, is going to come back again. And the hope of His coming be a bright prospect to encourage us. I know that there are many things that would seek to tear up that gate. The troubles of this world and all the problems that we have, and we all have them. The rubbish will seek to fill in the east gate, so we forget that the Lord Jesus is coming. But oh, God would have that east gate repaired and kept open, that we might look for the Lord Jesus to come from heaven. Oh, I'm so thankful for these people that repaired the east gate. Now we'll come to the last gate. I'm not really sure I know what this is. I might have to ask Brother Johnson what it is, but let's go on. After verse 30, after him repaired Hanani the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece, and after him repaired Meshullam the son of Berechiah over against his chamber. And after him repaired Micaiah the goldsmith's son into the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate Mithkad. I'm not really sure that I know what the gate Mithkad is, but I'm going to tell you what I think. And I may learn after this meeting more about it. But it talks about the gate of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate Mithkad to the going up of the corner. It just seems to me that the gate Mithkad was the place of business and the place of contact with others. Well, that gate needed to be repaired and kept in good order. And I would just suggest, for great ignorance on my part as to knowing exactly what this gate is, I would just say that the gate of our associations with others, our gate in business, that gate needs to be kept in good repair. That what we do as regards those that we work with and those that we go to school with and those that we contact, that the gate, Mithkad, may be kept in good repair, that we might have a testimony for God as we come and go in this world in which we live. Now I would solicit my brethren to come and help me understand that better after this meeting, but I hope that that's not an incorrect view of that. And I would just like to review what we've gone over. The walls were in need of being repaired. And the gates were broken down and they need to be set up, the locks and the bars. And the question comes up for every Christian, where shall I work and what shall I do? May I suggest this afternoon, if that question has arisen in your heart, and you say, well, I'm a believer, I know the Lord Jesus, and I want to be a blessing as I live in this world, but what shall I do? What shall I do? I'm going to suggest that you just ask the Lord to show you what part of the wall to work on. I just suggest that you ask the Lord to show you which one of the gates that you can apply your services to. And I'm not really sure I could tell anybody where they should work. But I know one that can. And I do desire that every one of us may go to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, is there anything that I can do now to be a help to thy people and a glory to thy name? And it would be the desire that the thing may come from our hearts that we read in verse 18. Might just look at that again, and we'll read it in our closing remark. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. And I desire this may be my wish, and what a joy it would be if it would be yours and the wish of every one of us when we think of the great need among the people of God. Let us rise up and build.